Welcome to A Meaningful Marketplace.
I'm Sarah Massoni from Oregon State University's Food Innovation Center, where I've helped countless dreamers launch their new food products. It's the science of taking a food delight from the kitchen to mass manufacturing and still keeping its great taste. That's what I do. I've been called the woman with the million-dollar palate, although I haven't tried to cash that check yet. Listen in weekly for real-life stories.
I'm Sarah Marshall, owner of Marshall's Hot Sauce and author of Preservation Pantry, Modern Canning from Root to Top and Stem to Core. I love inspiring business owners to get started on their journeys, encouraging folks to be part of their local community, and I'm excited to help business owners tell their stories. Join us as we explore the journeys of women entrepreneurs in the food and beverage industry. Hello and welcome to Massoni and Marshall, the Meaningful Marketplace. We are here weekly to discuss the journey of female food entrepreneurs. We're glad you joined us today as we bring you stories of hope and inspiration. This is Sarah Marshall, owner of Marshall's Hot Sauce.
And Sarah Massoni of Oregon State University's Food Innovation Center. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah Massoni. How are you this week?
Good. I saw you were at the night market.
Yes, we had a very busy night market this weekend. It was one of my favorite events. I mean, it's always one of my favorites. It's really fun. But the Valentine's Day. So, you know, the
so
night market.
Romantic.
Yes, it happens four times a year. They always do a big Valentine's Day celebration. It's really cute and sweet because people make like extra special stuff and they do all this random acts of kindness thing. So, you know, I take my daughter and we wrote notes to people that we didn't know. It was part of the Be Kind project. And so you write people a positive affirmation and then you hand it to somebody at the market that you don't know. It's very cute.
That is cute.
Yeah. They also have these like wrapped books. So you go on a date with a book and it just kind of gives you a description like you would see on like Tinder or something. And so you can just grab a book that has a description. So I picked a book that sounded like it was a vampire book, which is my favorite.
Spooky.
But just like dating online, that is not
what it tricked you.
It tricked me. It was like a political mystery thriller.
Oh, no.
It was like,
what do you do?
Not my style.
Do you leave it there then?
I put it back on the shelf. I left my book date in the wings.
It's okay.
Yeah. But we had a great time. It was a busy event. It was so fun. They always do such a great job. If there's vendors out there that are wanting to do this event, it's a very busy event. There's lots of people, lots of exposure to new customers every time. They have an application process. You can fill it out. The next one will probably be in the summer is like usually the next one, which is fun. They bring in all this sand and they put it outside and they make tropical drinks. And
ooh.
Yeah. So if you are
maybe
looking,
I'll go and wear a bikini or something.
Oh, I will not.
I better get a tan. I'll work on a tan before then.
I will wear my best black muumuu as usual.
That would be funny.
What's been going on at the FIC? You working on anything fun?
Oh, you know, actually, I mapped out our whole year with our new director, Marshall Walker, on Friday afternoon. And I was like, for real, Sarah? Really? You're going to do that much stuff? And then over the weekend,
plans.
I remember I forgot something. So I had to go in there and write down a couple more things this morning. So
add more things.
It's always good to sort of map out your year so you know where you're going to be spending your time. It looks like maybe I could take a vacation in July.
Perfect. Well, you should book it now so that you take that.
And we're starting to make plans for the fancy food show coming up in June. It's going to be June 20 something. See, 22nd through the 25th at the Javits Center.
That's going to be in New York. And we haven't talked about it yet, but our guest today is from New York. So maybe you'll meet in New York City, which would be very fun.
Whoop, whoop. Hit me up if you need a pass. I can get you in.
Well, we want to thank our sponsor for supporting Massoni and Marshall. Thank you for helping us to spread the word about women entrepreneurs. Let's hear a word from our sponsor. The Northwest and Rocky Mountain Regional Food Business Center is the proud sponsor of the Meaningful Marketplace podcast, giving a voice to food from across the six-state region of Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Oregon, Washington, and Wyoming. The Food Business Center supports Northwest and Rocky Mountain food industry makers as part of the USDA's National Network of Food Business Centers, supporting a more resilient, diverse, and competitive food system as a go-to source for small and mid-tier food and farm businesses with a focus on underserved communities, providing education in the form of technical knowledge, business programs, and industry news. We sponsor trade shows, meetups, and conferences to connect growers, producers, retailers, distributors, and processors, all to stimulate business and raise the standards of our storied food industry. Join us as we travel through the 6-state region, learning more about food makers, food hubs, and food systems. Visit the website at Northwest Rocky Mountain Regional Food Businesses.com to get connected. But we are not alone today. We are joined by one of my favorite kind of makers, a fellow hot sauce entrepreneur. I would like to introduce you to Laura Dedap, owner of Jablo Sauce, making small batch Filipino hot sauces in New York City. Welcome.
Wow. New York
City. Hi. New York City is the place. And I actually will be at the Fancy Food Show, Sarah.
Yeah,
we're going to be in Incubator Alley. So.
Oh, you're going to be in Incubator Village. That's where I hang out too.
Oh, great. Ooh. Okay, well, so we'll be neighbors. I'm really excited. We have a really fun crew.
Which group are you going with?
We work out of Entrepreneur Space, which is a co-kitchen, right here in Long Island City. So I'm based in Queens. Everything I do is in Queens. I was born and raised in Queens. We're all gonna, there are three, API owned businesses. So we'll be with Aureus, Malaysian, cuisine and, Dusra. And we have a lot of fun together. We love working together in the kitchen and also at shows. So
that's cool. Okay. Have you heard about Included CPG?
No.
You should check it out. Included CPG is for founders of color. And right now it's free to join. It's cool. You should check it out. Go on their website and fill out the application.
Awesome. I was going to
actually have a space too at the show.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully I'll get a walk around. That's the great thing about working with your friends is you can be like, man, my spot.
That's my favorite thing to do is to see all the other makers and vendors and meet new buddies. And so it's always good to have somebody that can watch your booth so you can do both things.
Yeah. And my favorite. Yeah. Oh, sorry. My favorite thing is to just master someone's elevator pitch. So like anyone that I work with, I'm always like, let me just hear your elevator pitch. And then if they can walk away, I can do it. It's like,
that's a nice thing. Then people can take bathroom breaks, which is well needed.
Yeah, or go find something delicious to eat.
Yeah, that's true. Try all the snacks. Well, we want to make sure to connect our listeners to you. So how do people find you on your social media platforms or online? What's the best way to do that?
Sure. Best way, I mean, we're the most active on Instagram. I'm an elder millennial, so at Jablo Sauce. We have a TikTok presence. Everything is at Jablo Sauce, and our website is jablosauce.com. It's Jablo Sauce.
Perfect. Well, I want to start with talking about your name because for a couple of reasons. One, I think I said it wrong when I introduced you. Well, I said Jablo, but is that how you say it?
It's totally. So it is the word Jablo.
Yeah.
But in the region that my dad is from in the Philippines, all the I's are J's.
Okay.
So it's his recipe that our original recipe stems from.
Yeah.
And so when he created it, he was like, this is Jablo sauce. And the J made us think about a punch. And so we were like, well, the sauce does give you a little punch. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a jab. And so we started playing around with the image of boxing and, you know, Manny Pacquiao's from the Philippines. We were like, oh, it all kind of ties together. So it does create, like, we did have a mispronounce on the season of Hot Ones for like maybe three or four episodes. People were like angrily commenting. They're like, that's not how you say it. I'm like, it's fine. That's on us. We chose this name.
Well, I think it's, an interesting topic to talk about because, you know, for our sauce too, I think when you name something that is different or there's a certain way to pronounce it or say it, you're always going to have people say it not the way you intended. And I've learned a lot over the years. So, you know, our sauce is Marshall's haute sauce, and haute means high end in French. But I've had people say it a million different ways and all different ways. But what I realized right away is that people really don't like to be corrected. So if you tell them, oh, it's actually this, or, you know, they say it, then they say, is that right? Then I just kind of go, you know, we are open to interpretation. And I just want you to be happy and enjoy it. And the purpose is to just let you know that it's something that I make with love and care. And that's it.
I've let people call me Lauren for like months. So I'm on the same boat. Yeah.
You get it. You feel me.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Sarah.
Well, I just wanted to ask about Taco Bell.
Oh, we passed all the trademark we just went through the trademarking process.
Okay, so, good. Tell us about that.
So it was kind of a mystery to me. My origin story is I have no business, I do have a business being in the food business, but I never studied it. I had no idea how to do any of it to start out, but it was a lot of Google searching and like asking people questions from the very basics of like, what is food? I joined Startup CPG, and I think someone pointed me to a food lawyer, and I was like, hello, I have been trying to see, like, I don't want to get in trouble down the line. Is our name, is our logo? Like, I knew this was something that could come up, especially because our hot sauce was similar to another company's hot sauce name. I was like, I don't want to see, like, they have more money than we do. I don't want to, I don't want to see a cease and desist after I spent our savings on like,
it happens to a lot of companies.
Yeah. But I did a quick search on the portal that, you know, there's like a database that you can search, and it didn't seem like anyone had it with the J in it. So then I let a few years pass, and then when we had a little bit of money to spend, I was like, that'll be the first thing that I do. So finding an expert is like, I love listening to the first episode of your podcast, because I was like, that's exactly what I did. I found an expert in every category that I needed.
That's good advice.
And I think that's really common for new businesses to not right out of the gate trademark, because, you know, it is an expensive process. And anytime you're dealing with any kind of legal stuff, it takes a little while. It costs money. You got to figure it all out. And I think it's pretty common for people to start their business and then go, okay, as soon as I have an extra whatever the amount of money is, then I'm going to trademark or patent my product. Some people are not like that. And they're like, I'm going to do this right away. And then a lot of times it's people that have maybe had some kind of legal thing happen, and then they're like, I just don't want to deal. Or someone close to them has had that happen. But I think either way is good. Whatever you can do, you should do it. But I definitely think you never really hear of anyone who, you know, 5-10 years into their business still have not done that. Because then as you start to get legal advice I was in lots of different classes, and we had access to attorneys and stuff, and they would be like, oh yeah, you really need to do this. You need to trademark and, you know, deal with your logo and all of that stuff. So I definitely recommend that people do that when you can do it. That's, I understand, is totally financially based.
So yes, if somebody's trying to figure out if their word mark is okay, you can go to the search engine, which is Tress. Tress.
It's Tress. And the USPTO.
USPTO. You just go and you just type in your name and you push search. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
And the other thing you can do is search for your name on the internet.
Yes, exactly. And that's what, I mean, that was basically all I did was internet, just Google searches of like, can I do this?
And I mean, if you have an idea and you like a certain name you came up with, the first thing you probably should do is buy your URL on the internet.
Yeah, your domain name.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Laura and I are connected because we were in the season 22 box of Hot Ones. So
Hot Ones.
I know. So we, you know, a lot of our guests are from here in Oregon, but we're just starting to expand outside. So this is the perfect time for you to be a guest on the show. So since you're from New York, but we do have this connection because we were on the show together. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about that, what it was like for what your experience was. And I just wanted to say the coolest part about it is that we are box neighbors. So
neighbors.
When you get the gift box, you know, there's 10 makers in there, and your sauce is number 5 and mine is number 6. So we are forever neighbors, which is so cute.
I think Bobby Flay recommended both of your sauces.
Yeah. Bobby Flay liked them both. Isn't that
he
cool?
He likes the middle. It was incredible.
He's the middle of the road kind of a hot sauce guy.
But I do have to say that where we are, because my whole team, we did the Hot Ones, the whole experience. And where we are, there is a big jump. So he's middle of the road, but not kind of the same middle of the road that he would think. He likes that hit. So that was kind of really like refreshing for to be like, oh, okay, like people, he's acknowledging flavor stuff. Like he was talking, he's talking about ingredients and not being like, this is really hot, which I appreciated. But actually,
it's nice
Sarah,
to taste stuff.
Totally. Yeah. Sarah, I've been following your sauce for a long time because I saw a video of you filling bottles a long while back. And I was like, I need to find that pourer.
Did you buy it from my website or did you get a different one?
I found it at a Restaurant Depot place. Oh, cool. But I was like, this is, because I was using a funnel for a while. Then we were using like the squeezy pancake pours. I truly like did a deep dive. If Google image search existed back then, I would have done that. But I'm a fan.
I ended up selling them on our website because we had so many people request, where do I get it? And then I would tell them, and then they'd be like, I can't find it, or I want to buy the exact same one that you're using, you know. So I ended up just like buying them wholesale from the manufacturer, and then I sell them online pretty much. I mean, maybe I make like $2, but pretty much at the price that I get them at, just because I wanted people to have this tool that helped me so much. You know, I always am trying to inspire other makers to make things, and I want to help solve any problems, because I didn't find that tool for maybe 3 years into the business. I was also just using a pitcher and a funnel. And then, you know, my bottles are bigger. My regular bottles that I use have a bigger neck, but doing them in these woozy bottles for Hot Ones, you know, you have to do them in a specific bottle. You need a really small opening. So I wouldn't have been able to do it the same way I did it originally. My funnel was too big. So
when you say Uzi bottle, let's just tell people what that is.
Oh yeah. A Woozy bottle is a 5-ounce hot sauce bottle. It's pretty standard. If you are selected it's a long neck bottle. Yeah. It holds 5 ounces. If you're selected to be on Hot Ones and go in their gift box, you have to bottle it in those boxes or in those bottles because it fits in their gift box. And so if you're a sauce maker that doesn't make sauce in that bottle, you have to all of a sudden start making it in that bottle.
Oh, so there's a whole new thing to learn about. Now, do you put those little drippy cap things inside the cap too, or just the cap?
No. I do not. It's
you want people to like pour the whole bottle on. Yeah.
Yeah. I want them to eat a lot of it and then come back for more.
Another thing that I noticed like early on about your sauces, like our consistencies were like thicker sauces. They were like dripping sauces. And I was like, that's the quality that I'm looking for, because I need something that can fit all of the like the vegetable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of the, we don't strain our sauce at all. So we're chunky.
Us too. I like it. Well,
one thing I noticed about the season 22 for you, Laura, was that you had, I think, 58 reviews on the website. And your average is 4.7. So that means you must have a really good hot sauce.
Oh, thank you. I do think it's rather tasty. What's amazing is I actually, Sarah, I mean to ask you this. We were asked to develop this specific flavor for the season. So we have two signature flavors that we make in small batches in our kitchen. And I was so intrigued by your origin story about how you were like, I don't want a co-pack. And I've been turned down by so many co-packers. They're like, we don't know how to make your sauce, or we can't source those ingredients. They're too specific. Or, you know, like it's very hard to get them in bulk. So I have been doing everything myself for the last 5 years. I just came from a shift last night. We had a late night shift. And it's still like a skeleton crew just in the kitchen. Like we watched the Super Bowl and had pizza and wings. But, you know, it's one of those things where I never thought that I would be producing at that level, volume, sheer volume. Like, you know, my first shift, I made maybe 60 bottles and I was like, I did it. but then, you know, like I got the call and they were like, can you make 50,000? And I was like, hello, what? okay. Like that's a number that I've never heard of before. And I will see. And so they connected us with a co-packer where we had conversations. And like, had I met someone like you, Sarah Missoni, like I feel like I would have just like your origin story together. I was like, this is absolutely like a person that I would have connected to and been like, you are now my best friend.
But that's how we are for sure. I wish everyone had a Sarah Missoni in their life. I'm sure. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, in New York, it's a lot of emailing. You email Cornell and they're far away. And so you're talking to someone, you don't know what they look like or how they, like, you don't really have a relationship with them. So when we were doing our scheduled process to begin with, like, you know, we got the bare bones minimum, but like, we didn't know a lot about like how oil would react in like big vats and, a lot of the ingredients that we had in our small batch recipe, like wouldn't work necessarily at that scale. So we developed a recipe and they wanted a certain heat level from us. Mm-hmm. So we developed this third flavor actually like right before we left for a vacation in the Philippines. And we were like, will these flavors be authentic to Filipino cuisine? We know the ones that we make in small batches are, but we were trying different prototypes and like then we left for the Philippines and the final prototype came in the mail and we had like everyone that we know that knows our sauce really well, like they had a key to our apartment and they would try it. And they were like, this is close, but maybe needs this. So it really was a situation where we weren't sure that our flavor would meet what our original flavor is, which is what is so special. And we're so excited that the people responded in a way that was like positive and reflective of what we're trying to do with our sauce, which is capture Filipino flavor without reinventing the wheel, but also, you know, appealing to people that don't necessarily have a familiarity with it.
Yeah. Well, I think you pulled it off because people loved it. People loved the way that it looked, especially Sean. He gave it a shout out right away on the introduction. So I think that you did it. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'll tell you my experience with changing for Hot Ones. So we'll be right back.
Oregon State University's College of Agricultural Sciences and the Food Innovation Center are proud sponsors of Meaningful Marketplace. With a mission to serve all Oregonians, we are committed to giving voice to those whose food and agricultural stories are not always heard. By providing access and opportunity for a more diverse and just food system, because food brings people together.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sarah.
you can start it, Sarah. We'll have him cut that.
Okay. Tell us a little bit more about your experience with Hot Ones and how did you decide to thicken your sauce with chia seed?
Is
me?
That you?
Oh. I was like, oh, is this going to be Sarah's moment? So chia seed, when we were experimenting with the original recipe, we didn't have anything that binded oil and vinegar together. Because as we know, those two components do not like each other. So we were using something like xanthan gum. Like we were looking at different agents that would kind of coagulate and make things like stick together. And we consulted with actually the Noah. Who, oh, did I just thumbs up myself? I'm sorry.
Okay, you got your own back. You're doing great.
we met with Noah from Heatonist, the hot sauce tasting room, and like the people that are really just behind a lot of the genius of Hot Ones. They and Noah really recommended one. We had a different bottle as well, and he was like, I like the different bottle, but like for the vision that you have, why don't you try the woozy bottles and see if you can fit in the woozy bottles and see if you can drip out. Like our sauce was thicker at the time. And so he really like pushed us in a direction of like looking like something, but looking like something that's familiar, but tasting like something that is new to people. Cause he was like, I've never tasted something like your sauce before. I'd love to sell it in our store. So he really gave us the roadmap to how all the steps that we needed to do to like become a legitimate food business. He was my Sarah. He pointed me in the direction of, you know, getting our schedule processed and getting my low acidified food certification. And what I found in this industry is that there's so much gatekeeping in professional anything. Like if you're a business person, if you're X, Y, and Z, but like in the hot sauce business, everyone's very open about being like, oh, this is what I did. Cause your recipe is very personal. It's very like your flavor profiles are your own, and not every person's going to come up with the exact same recipe. So it seems silly to hold that information to yourself if someone wants to try it out, because it's like, that's your risk to take. Like if you're going off the deep end, just starting a food business in general. So it's like, you know, like you're brave, like let me empower you and give you the tools that you need. So that's something that I'm super grateful for from day one, was Heatonist kind of giving us the roadmap. But he really was the one that told us, listen, chia seed is definitely the way to go. We're seeing a turn in what people like in ingredients. And you know, New York is a little bit less like local farmers markets. Like you have a lot of people that are shopping with bigger companies, and oh, it really is looking at me moving and gesturing. Sorry. it really was like a moment for us to consider what we were putting in, and we don't buy ingredients that we can't read necessarily off the bottle when we shop for our groceries. So I was like, I'm on board with that. I'd like to try it. And it actually makes the texture of our sauce look like really pretty and speckled.
Yeah, it looks really good. I think Noah's wonderful. I've worked with him for a long time. I think I have a little feedback going on here.
Okay. I don't hear it on my end.
Okay, I think it's just my headphones. Okay, got it. I think it was just my cord was wrapped on something. Anyways, yes, Noah is wonderful. He's great. He really knows hot sauce. He knows how to help makers who need to make this step. So just for listeners out there, because I know we have a lot of sauce makers that listen to the show, how it works with Hot Ones is that the Heatonist curates those sauces. So they come to you, they say, hey, can you do this on a big scale? I had talked to them before about doing the show and I couldn't. So I do make all my sauces here in my kitchen that's in my home. It's very small. That makes it hard to scale on a very big level. So what I did instead was do one of their anniversary sauces that was over the pandemic. It actually like saved our business because I had this one big project that I could work on while everything else was canceled. And so that was their year 5 anniversary sauce. And then to do this particular sauce, it was actually a sauce that I already was making and they really wanted to put it on the show, our Whiskey Smoked Ghost. I had made it for a party where I made maybe 25 bottles for the party. And the process was very complicated. I was trying to show off. It was at a chefy restaurant and I wanted to like show these cool things that I could do. So I smoked the ghost chilies. I soaked dates in whiskey and freeze dried and powdered them. That thickened the sauce naturally. So then it would have been completely impossible to do that on this level. So I did meet with Sarah. I talked to her about different ingredients that I could do and also figured out budget-wise if I could do it, because every time I made this sauce prior, I lost money because I used very expensive whiskey. Uncle Nearest Whiskey is really wonderful whiskey. It's the party I made the sauce for. They gave me the whiskey to make it and said, hey, make the sauce for this party. Well, then it became one of our more popular sauces. So we had to figure that piece out. Luckily, Uncle Nearest is also a women-owned company and a very wonderful business. And they said, hey, we want this for you. We will help you figure it out. I'm not sure if I can say how they did that, but we worked it out.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Because I said I could switch the whiskey to something else, but I don't want to. I want to use your
whiskey.
But
every bottle is an advertisement for them.
Every bottle is an advertisement for them. Mm-hmm. We also happen to have this really great co-packer here in town that was very small. They're not open currently, but I think they have plans to reopen. They're called Community Co-Pack. We know them. We've had them as guests on the show. They're wonderful people that have been around the community for a while, having other food businesses. The reason that I knew that this would be okay and could work out was because I could go there and be part of the process. So I do think that hot sauce making is very personal, and it becomes like something that represents you. So it's hard to give that up. That being said, I don't know that I would use a co-packer again. Not that I am saying anything bad about Community Co-Pack. I just think for me, the part that I love is making the hot sauce. So I think as a maker, I do want people to hear that. If they're thinking about doing a co-packing situation, it immediately becomes a different life, it takes on its own form. It is you managing different product and managing supplies and...
Yeah. Paperwork.
You become a paper pusher, which is not my jam. So, you know, I was so honored and grateful to be part of this process. Would I do it again? Yes, totally. You know, if I had to redo that scenario, but I just learned a lot from it. I learned that it doesn't bring me joy, really. That particular piece, watching the show brought me a lot of joy, and being part of that journey brought me a lot of joy. But then making peace was missing. And so there was like a piece of my heart that was missing, you know? So it just felt different.
I completely agree. That first moment where we were like, we had just said, yes, everyone approved the recipe. We were like, okay, this is it. We're going for it. It was also our first time co-packing. I was like, wait, I don't know this baby that I'm sending out into the world. Aww. Like, I know my baby, and like, you know, I know our original flavors, and like, you know, this kind of goes back to Sarah Masoni's question. It's like, I'm so glad that we have these great reviews, but I really was like, I don't know if people are gonna, I've not tested it in marketplaces. I've not watched people taste it like face to face. Are they even gonna like it? And so we went kind of blind into the season being like, we know we like our flavors. We know this tastes like our flavor, but we haven't really market tested it, or like it was a little bit different than your story, Sarah, where you're like, you knew that people liked the whiskey smoke ghost flavor, but we didn't know if people would like it. And so, you know, like one of my favorite reviews for us on the Heatness website for our original is someone was like, kind of gross. And I'm like, that's awesome. I think it's a texture thing, which is fine. But like, I mean, I'm also like, please speak up, like talk about what you like or don't like. That helps us. But
yeah.
But yeah, I was really nervous going into this for the same reasons, being like, okay, like I can taste the sauce when it's in my braiser, but the, you know, when it's at a co-packer, they're up like 9 hours away from us. We talked extensively, we exchanged the recipes. We really went back and forth as much as possible to be able to like finesse, but it's not the same as the thing that you put yourself into.
Feels like you did have a good experience though. They were able to produce it consistently for you.
Definitely. We did run into, because of the timing of things, the batch that was on the show was a smaller batch, and we didn't know what it was going to look like. So what we saw on the show looks a little bit different than what went out in the boxes. It has the same qualities, but the actual color of it is less green than what was on the YouTube channel. It tastes the same, but something about, and probably Sarah was saying you would know all about this, but the process of sitting in the braiser as they bottle this many bottles, it changes the color of what's going through. And so we got a call and they were like, it looks different, tastes the same, but you know, we just wanted to let you know. And that's just something that we didn't know about producing at this level of volume.
Yeah.
You probably lose color from it sitting and cooking.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Because you're using spirulina for your color.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's delicate.
Yeah. It's a delicate. yeah. I watch it, you know, it happens on a small scale when we're making like 40 gallons of sauce. It definitely will get browner towards the end of the batching, but, you know, the sauce is still green. But I'm sure after, like, you know, that level is going down, it's just like, I'm cooking.
Can you, Laura, tell us about your original and your smoked flavors, which
Sure. They
must have made you famous if you got on the show, right?
Yes. So our original flavor was actually the party favor at my wedding. When I met my husband, I had brought him steak. And my dad had been experimenting with the sauce. Like, he just would like find ingredients that we stew in like Filipino cooking, ginger, garlic, a very specific cane vinegar, and the heat from like a Thai chili like pepper. We call it sealing labuyo. And so when he was a student in New York in the 70s, he would go to the like Asian markets and just find whatever would remind him of home, because he couldn't fly back. It was so expensive. He was playing guitar at like a French restaurant, like just kind of like really, really like tight pockets. but you know, he found a way to connect with other people was cooking. And so he found all these ingredients that reminded him of his home cooking, but was able to cook at a scale where he could be like, here, put this sauce with this dish and you'll taste what it's like. I can't really like find the ingredients that we would find in my hometown, but he just kept toying with this idea. He called it Jablo sauce. It was like maybe 5 or 10 years of him like doing this at Thanksgiving, and people would start bringing like huge jars and be like, all right, I'm taking my sauce home.
Fill it up.
So this guy that I was dating, I really wanted to flex and be like, hey, like I'm so cool. So I brought him some steak and this sauce, and he was like, this sauce is incredible. And so then I brought him my dad's like roast pork belly with like the crispy skin. And he tried it with the sauce, and like he finished the pork belly, and then he looked at the cup of sauce and he just drank it like a shot. And I was
oh
like,
oh my gosh.
I was like, this guy, this American boy, he likes my dad's flavors. Like he's a keeper. So definitely for our wedding, I was like, Dad, like, do you think you could make, you know, a couple, like 200 bottles of sauce? And he was like, I don't know, I'll figure it out. So then he went to his very like scientific friends and was like, make me a spreadsheet where I can like scale up my recipe. So he asked them to like scale it down to like the gram. And then they found a way to like do the calculations to make as much sauce as we needed to give out these little like 4-ounce bottles. And so we gave out these cute little jars. They kind of look like the hot sauce jars. They're like kind of wider on top and like, you know, same like width all around. And people were eating it at the wedding and they were like, oh, I want to take my favorite home. And I was like, well, you ate it. So, one of the bottles actually ended up at Heatness with Noah. And he was like, I got your sauce. Like, do you want to sell it at the store? And I was like, I don't know how. It was just a party favor. And he was like, oh, well, come on in and we'll talk about it. And he met with us and was like, this is what I think you should do. Here are the changes to the recipe that I would make. Here are the changes to your packaging that I would make. You know, try it out. Here's a bottle manufacturer in Brooklyn, like stop by. So I was going to all of these places just like blindly being like, hello, can I have some bottles to put my sauce in? I'm an actor and a musician by trade. Our family business is music, but in general, but my dad, Yeah, my dad was like, you should probably like start cooking out of like a legit kitchen, because New York City, the rules are just a little bit stricter out here.
Yeah,
we gotta follow the rules. So there are actually a couple of like communal working spaces that you can go. Some are very expensive. Entrepreneur space is great because it's subsidized by the government. A lot of people were cooking illegally out of their kitchens, and this is a space where people can go and be like, hey, I have this idea, how do I do it? And there are subsidized classes and like advisory meetings that you can take. Like, they have the resources for small business owners to start at a scale where you don't have to have like a huge amount of working capital to start out. When I heard all of the resources that Oregon has, I was like, I wish that we had that. We just have like the one thing.
That's a really great one though. I mean, it makes it so that people can get started in a, safe way and a safe space and an affordable space. Like, I think it sounds great. Awesome.
Yeah. You could lose a lot. There's a lot of privilege in being able to be like, I'm going to start a business. Like, I have an idea. Like, you know, you have to have a certain amount of capital to like get that on its feet and get all the things going that you need to get going. And so it's not really accessible for people that have like a little bit of an American dream. And like, my dad's always been this like idea guy, and he's always like, oh, we should do this. And I've always been like, oh, that's not possible. But you know, with this specific recipe, I was like, let me just think like my dad. Let me just think that like it's totally possible and like just pursue it.
You did it, and you made a sauce to represent your dad and your family and your culture. And it's so wonderful. And it now is. Like thousands of people have had your Filipino hot
it's
sauce.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people will ask, like, do you get emails where you're like, where did this question come from? We got one email that was like, what makes you Filipino? And I was like, me. The sauce is Filipino because, like, I'm Filipino.
That's the perfect answer.
I think it was really great that you just followed your heart. And I think that's a good message for a lot of food entrepreneurs, to just listen to themselves and keep moving forward. That's what Walt Disney always said. I'm sure, you know, if he didn't move forward with his vision, look, we wouldn't have all the wonderful things that have happened from that company. But I think that's a good message for food entrepreneurs, is kind of follow your heart and stay away from people who say you can't do it.
Yeah,
I think something that was so refreshing. It was so refreshing about the origin story with the two of you, that Sarah Marshall was like, I really want to do what I want to do. And Sarah was like, you can't.
That's true.
Hey, thanks, Sarah Masoni, for always having my back, even from the beginning. Well, unfortunately, we have to wrap it up. So what I would love is for you to tell people how to get your sauce. How do they get it in this world?
All right. You can get it directly from us at joblosauce.com. We ship all over the United States. We actually just started distributing in the EU through Heat Supply. So the Netherlands actually just bought their first kind of shipment from us, and that was very exciting and a development. You can get it from Heatonist, and we are in a couple of shops locally in New York. If you're around here, we have them listed on our website. So just follow us. We're working on getting that West Coast presence. I don't really like I said, I truly just kind of done this on the fly. Like, I have now a person where I'm like, how do I do logistics? and we now know how to ship pallets. So that's something that we just discovered. So if you are on the West Coast and you would like to sell our sauce, please like find me, Laura, LAURA at joblosauce.com. I would love to chat with you because I know how to ship.
Perfect. I always talk about, I learned how to wrap pallets from watching YouTube videos. So
yes. The internet is an amazing place. Mm-hmm. So
yep. I learned how to wrap pallets from my husband, who used to wrap thousands of pallets.
He's a pro. He's an expert.
Yeah. Oh. I really feel like you two are me, like, in another dimension. Like, I'm also looking at us. We're all wearing kind of the same versions of the same outfit.
I know. Listeners, you can't see us, but we look really cute. Yeah,
there's a lot of black and white grayscale.
All right, ladies. Well, thank you so much. It was great to chat with you today, and we appreciate you coming on the show, Laura. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, Sarah and Sarah.
You're welcome.
We record Missoni and Marshall live every week. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform like iTunes. Thank you to our audio engineer, Alon, and our production assistant, Chelsea. If you want to be a guest on the show, you can send us a DM on our Instagram, Missoni and Marshall. And we'll be back next week, everybody. Thanks for joining. Bye.
Bye for now.
You're listening to the Startup Radio Network. Listen, learn, launch. 10% of our gross revenue goes directly to women entrepreneurs in developing countries around the world through Kiva's microfinance program.